Little Bob here. This summer, shop the latest small space solutions at Bob's Discount Furniture. From retro chic bedroom sets to stylish space-conscious Bob-o-pedic sofas, it's all at Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
And realize that the repercussions of the decisions we make now need to resonate beyond election cycles. We are talking about the future of our city right now. We cannot screw this up.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
High fly ball hammered out towards left center. You can forget it. Out of here. He crushed it. 97 turned around into the left center field bleachers of the Cubs, and even the score, Swanson is 17.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello, happy hump day, everybody.
What is happening?
Good morning on this smoky little Wednesday morning we've got going on here.
Little smoky out there today. Little smoky.
Level one, Clackamas County.
Yeah, what level are you guys at? You got to get ready to... Is it the same as DEF CON? Like level one is the worst or level four is the worst?
No, level three would be get the hell out
level
of
level three, three is go
so it goes
now.
One, two,
level
so
one
goes is go up. Now. Be
goes,
aware.
Progressively one goes is, up. Got yeah. it. Okay.
Yeah, level two would be, hey, you might need to get ready.
Maybe have a sandwich in a bag or something.
Level
a bottle
three,
of water.
Get the hell out of here.
Now, how prepared are the Sprags for bolting out if we need to out in Clackamas County?
Well, it depends on how they get it. Died down, really, because at this point we leave Tuesday, so not at all.
Right.
Why would we prepare if we're leaving town Tuesday?
Well, you're level one. What if you go to a level two? Are you going to get more prepared at a level two?
Well, if we jump to level two, we've been at level two. We had to evacuate our house in Oregon City. I had to leave.
I remember that a couple years ago.
I got a notice, so we had to leave our house in Oregon City from one of the fires, I think, in Malala. And, that was a weird feeling.
That's a little strange,
very
I'd imagine.
Ominous area it was. It was, like, red, and you could not literally see anything.
Yeah, you could smell it everywhere you go. Everybody's, like, loading stuff up into their cars.
It's Clackamas County level one. I'm in Clackamas County, so I don't know how to answer your question other than to tell you it's level one.
You got a can of beans ready to go? Can of corn?
No.
You got a microwavable meal ready just in case?
No, I don't really know what we would do if we got, like, to a level two today. That fire is just not... It's almost at the crest of the hill.
I mean, it's horrible. Yeah, we're getting ready to leave tomorrow for Sun River, and I don't know. The weather reports seem to indicate that it should be clear by Wednesday night, Thursday morning. We'll see on that in Sun River. But I also know we got to go a completely different route because usually whenever you go to Sun River, which way do you go? You go over past, you drive past the mountain, you go that way because it's just the easiest and
are
the
you
closest.
Going the Salem-Detroit Lake
we're
going
to go the Salem-Detroit Lake one because I think that one's a little bit safer, and it doesn't seem like there's any sort of fire impact on that route. So you go south, you take a different direction to get there. Because right now driving over the mountain does not sound like a good idea.
Yeah, Meadows is on level three.
Yeah.
And I know today I saw Timberline is right now active level one.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It'd be wild, dude. That's
insane. If Timberline
that's insane.
Lodge went down.
It's insane, man. It's one of the most iconic things in our state. It's one of the biggest landmarks we got.
Well, I don't mean to divert the attention away from the tragedy of that situation.
Sure.
But like also, I don't even know like what an event like Hood to Coast would do because you start at
that's
Timberline Lodge.
That's a great question. I didn't even think about that. That's only about less than a month away,
that's
right?
About 3.5 weeks
about
away.
About 3.5 weeks away.
Yeah.
I did not even think about that, man.
That's been on my radar too because I'm like, I don't know where this is all going.
Dude, I had a neighbor or a couple in our neighborhood. They had like a little wedding sign out in their front yard. And so the next time I bumped into them, I'm like, did a kid get married? Did you guys get married? Wasn't fully certain of their first names, but we met them a few times. They were an older couple. They just got married like a week or two ago, and they were supposed to get married out somewhere where one of these fires is happening, and they had family flying in from all over the country. Everybody's planning, and then like 5-6 days before, it was like hot route.
Wow,
and they had to change everything. Yeah, like, and they were able to get everything done. Another neighbor of ours, we were talking to him yesterday. They were supposed to be up camping somewhere up there this weekend or this week. That ain't happening right now. Everybody's canceling trips and having to move things, man.
Yeah, I think the unfortunate nature of these events is like instead of just constantly being supportive and, you know, doing what we can, It feels like people locally have to jump on the internet and then become divisive about it.
Nah, we got to yell about it.
Well, I mean, you know, it's more, more morphs into like, whose fault is this? And why is this fault their fault? And is it really this? Or is it really that? And it, like, it just becomes a stream of information crap.
Yeah,
and it's like,
good.
What do you believe? Do you believe your news source? Do you believe somebody else posting a news source?
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that we're getting a little bit warmer. We're getting a little bit drier. We had a very dry year. Very little snow. Snowpack.
What I mean is, like, it's becoming the debate of, like, logging companies. This is all this logging
company's
fault.
This is their fault. They caused the fires.
But it's more about how you log, where you log, where fires are growing, how hot they grow.
Should we not allow them to log in certain areas?
Yeah, what trees are you cutting down? And, like, it's kind of morphed into that debate, unfortunately.
That's way above my pay grade. I also know that some of these fires were started via lightning strikes and breaking news. Not much you can do in those cases. You get a lightning strike in the middle of a forest and a fire starts. There's not a lot that you can do to prevent that.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying, though, is, like, if you have a thinner area of tree because you've logged.
Right.
You've got more air, you've got drier conditions, so, like, some people argue that the fires get hotter.
They spread quicker
because of certain areas that have been logged versus, you know, other people pointing to sections that haven't been logged that have caught on fire. I don't even know what to believe with any of that stuff, but
I got nothing.
It's really unfortunate.
It sucks, dude. It genuinely sucks, and we got to deal with it every August. Usually, like clockwork or something, you hope that this is kind of it and we can get a turn in the direction, but if it's not, I mean, you're looking at a couple of weeks of just not... Depending on the wind direction and the ability to get any of these things under control, like, it's, you're going to be dealing with this for a while.
Yeah, I saw a thing that was more like, this is the beginning.
This is just the start.
Because early September, late August can be bad. Pretty bad.
There was, what was it? It was the COVID year, I want to say, that we would have, I think that was the worst one if I remember, and we would have lost. Now, we didn't end up having games because the football season was already canceled.
Yeah.
But we would have literally lost. Like, I think it was the Oregon-Ohio State game, if I'm not wrong. Would have been a non-conference game. They were supposed to come to Autzen, and I think the game would have been canceled either way because that was a weekend where it was like the air quality was like 250, and it looked like you were playing on the face of Mars.
Well, our air quality yesterday at our house was 165.
Okay.
And I had to run a couple errands, and it sucked to be out. But
yeah,
I saw, like, one of these local sports recs leagues, like, with a camp at
school. Outplaying?
Yeah.
Really?
And
bold move, Kyle.
I almost wanted to be like, maybe you guys should be doing this.
Maybe not running around and breathing in air for an hour and a half.
You know what? People dropped their kids off, and there was somebody running everything. So I'm like, hey, you want to breathe that in? You can breathe that in if you want.
Trying to explain to a two-year-old why we can't go outside when he doesn't quite comprehend is a very difficult conversation.
You can't do it.
He wants to go outside. I'm like, no, we can't. I mean, we went outside. We were outside for bits and pieces. But I'm like, we're not going to be outside for two straight hours. It's not great. He's got super sensitive skin. So whenever we're out and it's like the bad air quality, you're always worried. Like, all right, is it something going to happen here? Let's get back inside. And he just was not comprehending. And it led to a very difficult day. And today's going to be even worse because it's supposed to be hotter today and worse today. So I can't wait to explain again. Uh-uh, buddy, we got to play inside today.
I asked my wife if we got to level 2 or 3 and we had to actually leave. First of all, where we would go.
Yeah, where are you going? Which direction you go?
I think we concluded we'd have to go to Salem.
Salem would be the route.
I can't go to my sister-in-law on the west side. They have a dog that's pretty active, to say the least. And my dog hates dogs, period.
Right. So you got to take your dog with you. They're not going to get along.
Well, plus I have a rabbit. Plus I got two lizards. Dude, plus I got a hamster.
I didn't even think about you guys and your family zoo.
That's all I thought about. It's like, dude, we'd have to go somewhere where there's no other animals.
How long does it take just to pack up the family zoo to get out of the house? Get all the cages? Do they even fit in the cars?
The hardest one would be our gecko.
Yeah, the gecko.
Because I think we'd have to take his cage. The hamster can be in a little box.
But yeah,
the bearded dragon just needs to be warm, but it's like a cat. It'll just sleep all day.
Sure.
The rabbit we'd have to contain.
Yeah.
And the dog is fine.
I just picture you guys driving down the highway, the rabbit's loose in the car, bouncing from seat to seat, dropping little pebbles all over the floor in the new car.
How did they get in a car crash?
There
was a lizard on his face. There was a bunny running around. The dog went crazy.
There's a lizard sitting on your daughter's foot. What is happening right now? Look at you guys.
So it would have to be also, it'd be that. So I think we'd have to go to to Salem because we have nobody else we'd go to.
Right. What about swag? Drive out to the...
I'm not going to a condo with five animals and my family.
They welcome you with open arms. Come on, swagard.
Not sleeping on that couch. You guys sleeps in his whitey tighties. He's probably watching sports late at night.
Carpool in the next couple of days?
No,
come
that's
on.
Not, that's not happening.
Be a little cozy.
Yeah, be a little cozy to say the least.
A little tight, a little compact over there.
I think I'd have to go to Salem.
Yeah, that's
the route
you go.
And I'd have to commute from Salem into work and then... I asked the wife, I said, you know, aside from the animals, because she was like, oh, you know, we take the dog and go, and you leave the other animals? And she goes, well, I mean, it's not like the house would burn down. I go, if we're at level three, they're telling you.
That's the whole reason you're leaving.
Yes.
The whole reason you're leaving is that there's a threat that your house
you
could catch on fire.
You should be able to see flames from your back deck.
Yeah, like, smoke we gotta is go. Like crazy.
We got to go now. And we got to get out of here.
She goes, I guess I hadn't really thought about that. Yeah. I go, yeah, dude.
You're not just leaving to leave for kicks and giggles.
Well, and then I go, what would you take, right? Like, what are the items you would have to bring with you if you're evacuating your house? And I gave her a couple items that I think I'd have to grab.
Yeah.
But, like, largely a lot of stuff I just go,
let it go.
Stuff, you know?
That's why we got insurance.
Exactly.
Yeah, most of the stuff you can replace. It's mostly the sentimental stuff that you don't want
to lose. It has to be the most sentimental
like you're not
stuff.
Taking you're not taking your massive, you're not taking a TV with you. Like,
I don't care about the TV.
Couches, furniture, none of that stuff's coming with you.
No.
But there's got to be like little family pictures or little things, knickknacks around the house that mean something to you.
Signed Jerry Rice photo.
Yeah, gotta take that. Yeah.
Michael Jordan card set that I have that is in like... primo mint great condition that I will never sell.
That's your 401k.
That I mean, it's actually not worth that much. I've looked it up.
No.
But it's sick.
Yeah, you don't want to lose it.
And if MJ ever passes before me, value going up a little bit on that, I'm not going to lie.
Odds are pretty high on that happening.
My Joe Montana signed photo.
Yeah.
Probably my golf clubs.
Can't lose your golf clubs.
I mean, yeah. You know.
Although, some would argue.
Yeah, you're right.
The insurance
the
of golf clubs.
The all-black Titleist T700s look pretty effing sweet.
These were actually a $5,000 set of golf clubs. And,
you can't prove it.
You can't prove it because
right,
I don't have
I leave
a receipt
them.
Anymore.
I'd leave mine.
Now, was there may or may not have been somebody on this show that tried to pull that off? Was that not?
I did.
There was a bit of an upgrade situation that happened, if I remember correctly?
No, it's replace. I knew
totally
what the clubs
what
were.
You're talking about.
Remember, his clubs got stolen
they
out
got
of his
stolen
car.
Out of my car.
And there was an insurance claim involved in that. I just remember there. I mean, you obviously have to get new clubs, so there was an upgrade automatically. And that was a nice little moment for you. You got some new gear out of that bad boy.
I did get new gear out of it. It was replacement value.
Yeah,
so.
For legal reasons, I would say it's replacement value. I don't know what you're getting out of
it. I have no idea. I mean,
Jake,
come on.
I wonder who the snitch on this show would be.
Jake from State Farm called him back.
Claim.
And he said, here you go. I got khakis on. You got new golf clubs.
I go, can I do this? He's like, yeah, this is how it works.
Yeah.
Perfect.
You know, I'd say of the two people on the show getting clubs, the shadier one was the guy that lost the bet and somehow got new golf clubs.
Very fair point. Very fair point.
That
although
was pretty shady.
Yeah, they were my picks. Buy me the clubs, okay, Kevin. Yeah. All right, come on, hook a brother up here, okay?
But
they're still standing. They're still going strong. Got to grab the high school highlight tape. Got to grab that bad boy. You can't replace that.
Still level one in Clackamas County. Do you guys know what you'd take?
High school highlight tape's got to be in there. It's an old DVD.
You really would take high school highlight tapes?
Yeah, dude. I'm not losing that.
I'm surprised you didn't say PIL Player Trophy of the Year.
I mean, sure, that, you know.
Isn't that better than highlight tape?
It is. It is. In some
no
ways, it
you,
is.
Nobody wants to watch it.
Other than me.
Do you still watch it?
No. Definitely not.
Because the trophy itself is like.
I mean, it's not that nice of a trophy.
I know it's not.
Well,
of course, it's your Lombardi.
My Lombardi. It's my shrine.
They can never.
I would definitely grab that. Yeah. I would definitely be a part of it. There would have to be some sort of high school football collection of things that I would have to keep because I can't. If you lose those, that's 20 years ago. Nobody's got the highlights left of 2006 Cleveland football. Nobody's got that on a hard drive somewhere.
There's
not a huddle.com. That was 20 years ago, man. The internet was barely a thing.
But you lived it. Why do you need the tape for it?
I'm gonna get old someday. Sprague, okay? And I'm going to want to remember my glory days. I did try and show it to Teddy the other day, and all he wanted to do, because the only way we have to watch DVDs is the PS5, and all he wanted to do was grab the controller and start smashing buttons.
Video game.
I'm like, no, dude, no, look at this dime. He had no interest
That's
in watching. Look at that. Look at that corner route. I hit that thing right on the money, man. It was a hell of a throw. He had no interest in watching that whatsoever.
You need to make sure that you write very carefully to him when he's older, if you ever lose me, play this tape, and I'll come back to you.
Play this at your funeral. My funeral.
No, notebook style. Now he gets his wife to come back from the Alzheimer's.
That's not a bad idea.
He pops that tape in. You're just off in Neverland.
I'm
all of a sudden, you pop back in. You're like, Teddy?
What's happening?
Teddy?
Dad?
Can I be, what was the movie with the Husky basketball player and his brother dies? Do you remember that movie? And then he's like,
oh, the sixth man.
Is that what it was?
With Marlon Wayans.
With Marlon Wayans?
Yeah, he dies on a dunk.
Can that be the way that I do this? If you put the highlight tape on, now I'm out there flying around the football field helping you. Nope, not going to make that sack. We're running over this way. If I could pull that off, it'd be pretty cool.
So, yeah, it's unfortunate. I'm thinking a lot of people, man. The people that just volunteer to fight this thing, it's crazy. It's nuts.
The pictures and the videos are just absolutely bonkers, man. Like, to be out there, to be fighting that, it's insane.
Well, a lot of these guys have to be on the ground at the grasshopper fire while trying to battle it overhead.
Yeah.
And the terrain is just horrific.
Not fun. Not fun to be able to do that.
It's not fun at all. Speaking of not fun, I have an admission to you guys.
Mm.
I might have fallen yesterday into a personal dread, but realization of... oh, dear God, are the Seahawks going to be a dynasty?
Episode one of Hard Knocks did it to you, huh?
That was a pretty good episode.
Talking about Michael Jordan, man. How many of those did Michael Jordan win? He won six.
That was a good coach thing. Damn, dude, this is one of the more likable teams.
Oh, absolutely.
They have all the great stories. Leonard Williams is this kind of like forgotten about stud DT that nobody in New York seemingly wanted. So they bring him in. He's an absolute unit. Sam Darnold giving up on. No way he can win the big game. Minnesota says, thanks, no thanks. We're going Niner. Right. Now they don't want Niner. He goes 14-3, wins the Super Bowl. Yeah. It's just like everywhere I looked, I'm like, cool. I hate that I like them. I hate that I like this. Why would they not repeat? Their roster's amazing.
It's loaded.
My team's injured. The Cardinals exist.
Right.
I just got into an internal dread watching that episode.
There is something about the combination of the intro music of Hard Knocks and the voice of Liev Schreiber that just feels... it just feels right.
Do you feel... can I say something that I've long been thinking?
Yes.
I've seen Liev Schreiber in movies.
Yes.
I don't know how that's Liev Schreiber. I don't feel like that's the same voice.
There's not a... yes.
Do you?
I don't,
When
no.
I see him in movies
it
or television
different.
Thing, it
it's
feels like that's an entirely different person.
Right. And maybe I'd like your movies a little bit better if that's the way it sounded the entire time. Maybe that's we just need to talk in your Hard Knocks voice. Could get rid of whatever the acting voice you have. There's something about, is there not? Like when the intro rolls
and he's
saying the opening lines and you get the theme song playing.
Eagle was flying over the water.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, dude, it's beautiful up there.
Derek Hall and his 97-foot-tall truck pulling
in. He had a monster truck, and then he just lowered it.
Hey, guys, welcome in. It was hilarious to see that moment of the episode, and then later, one of the fights at practice, one of the things that was said to Derek Hall was, you've changed since you got your contract.
That was way over.
And then you hearken back to the opening episode.
His truck is
him driving in
truck.
With, like, lights, neon lights at the bottom of a truck that's 10 feet tall that you need a ladder to get in and out of. Like, did you drive that last year, or have you changed a little bit from your contract? It was a great first episode, man. It was perfect. And a lot of people realizing something that we knew because of our time when we used to get to go up there. It was always a lot of fun. Yeah, catch that fly if you can grab it. There you go. Good call. Is just the setting of, it's funny to think about, we're going to do an interview with a 49er person today.
Matt Maiocco.
And they are currently training next to a substation in which all of their players seemingly get hurt because of the electrical currents that are going through it. And it's a conspiracy theory that's growing.
People are starting, like a lot of players on that team, I think, believe.
Yes. I mean, how do you not? Because they've been one of the more injured teams in the NFL. And then you turn on Hard Knocks last night and you're like, oh, that's right.
They play by water.
It is the most beautiful training camp setting that exists in the National Football League.
Renton's a weird spot. My brother lives in Renton, and he lives probably a mile from the facility. So when I went up and visited him, I drove past it. It's a weird town in the sense of, like, there's such beautiful pockets.
Yes.
And then also some absolute trash.
Yes.
Renton's a weird town.
It's weird. Because it's just south of Bellevue and Kirkland where the
Ritz of the Ritz live, right?
Yes.
Like, I drove through a weird section and I was like, oh. And then I, like, two lights later, I'm at my brother's apartment and it's just
Completely different.
Gorgeous, yeah. On the water, blue angels are flying over.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, this is amazing.
This is awesome. This is really sweet.
Is it hydroplane race weekend up there?
I don't know.
I remember when we were up there, it was funny. Jimmy Graham would fly his seaplane in. That's how he would get to practice. He'd fly his seaplane in, land it, go over to a dock, walk off, walk up the dock, and there you go. You're at the facility.
Like, even take the quarterback, right? Like, I don't hate Sam Darnold.
I don't know why you would hate Sam Darnold.
I didn't really believe that he would win the Super Bowl for most of the season. I'll admit that. Like, yeah. I thought he was not great in certain moments, and then he was awesome in the NFC title game.
Yeah.
But then, like, even he yesterday, they're largely showing him, talking about him, but not at the end of the episode. He's in the quarterback room, and he's like, can you believe people give a crap that LeBron's joining a good team? Like, who doesn't want to be on a... He just started defending the athlete of, like...
He did.
Why would you not want to be on a good team?
That's the point of being a free agent. You get to pick what team you want to go play for.
Stupid take. And I was like, it's crazy how simple that is. And yet,
it becomes
60% of America that hates the NBA and really hates LeBron
right.
will always use it as an argument. Like, he joined a good team. It's like, yeah, dude. Isn't that the goal, is to win all the games?
It was a really good first episode. So the other funny thing that I wondered aloud, and I don't know if you noticed the same thing, but there was the moment where Cooper Kupp and Darnold were talking about how Kupp got to go to the Swift and Kelsey wedding in New York, and because it was right after Romo got arrested. So I love that stuff in real time. They're like in that meeting room, like, hey, did you see the news about Tony Romo?
Yeah.
Like, that comes up in their meeting room, and he brings up that he just bumped into him at the wedding. It felt like when he started to say that, he was going to then follow up with, and he was absolutely hammered.
We know he was.
But they didn't obviously show that, and there's some things. But it felt like the way he was starting, like, oh, I just saw him at the wedding, and then there's like an edit, and then it's, yeah, I don't know how I got invited to the wedding. It just immediately pivots to the story about him getting the invitation and thinking it was a fake.
I mean, I feel like we may know somebody in our personal lives, or you see it. Like, when someone's a booze hound.
Yeah, you know it. You know it.
And Romo's had that,
you know it,
kind of on him for about a year or two.
Yes.
Maybe more.
Maybe a little bit longer.
Jim!
And there was actually another follow-up on that. I believe somebody did do the crack research, because Google AI told me that they were still alive.
They're not.
They are not. The grandparents are dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot to bring that up, because you said the Google AI results said
I said his grandparents still alive. They live in Wisconsin. I'm like, okay, all right.
Google AI is like...
No, they don't know what they're doing.
It's wildly wrong.
Don't trust the computers, man.
It's like a 35% hit rate, Google AI.
I'm my
like,
gut's at 42. I'm beating it.
Bing needs to make their AI.
They do. Because
if they can beat Google AI, I might open my thing to Bing.com.
Bing.com.
We got a loaded show today. A lot to get to. We got college football all over the show notes. We got Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague we're gonna get to coming up next. Let's do this. We'll pivot, we'll get back into the Seahawks, we'll talk some NFL today. Matt Maiocco at 8:04, why is every 49er that touched that practice field since 2014 seemingly get hurt? I don't know if it's conspiracy theory anymore, more so than like there's got to be something to this.
There's numbers behind it.
So we'll talk with him at 8. We do not have Greg Oden today.
No.
His plane got diverted or rescheduled, so he won't be in until late, but he'll be on tomorrow.
I brought my jersey in.
You didn't bring it. I was going to text you to bring it. I forgot.
So over here, it's ready. I'll leave it with you today.
I will get it signed.
Bummed I'm going to miss that one, but it'll be still fun to have him on the show.
It'll be a lot of fun. Greg Oden will be in studio tomorrow at the 8 a.m. hour. But let's start with something we never got to yesterday. Let's yell about scheduling, do a peekaboo, and give you the results of something unveiled. We'll start there. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1 The Fan.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in 4 fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas, to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. 627 on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fam. I would like to do very quickly, I would like to apologize publicly. Ooh. I felt pretty awful yesterday.
Get it out there right out of the gate today?
Well, I apologized privately, and I felt like I should do it publicly, too. I felt really bad for my Joe Fish joke with Brooke. I didn't mean it. I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Can I try to explain quick?
I mean, I get it. I don't think you meant the way that people probably took it, but when you're associating with somebody with that person,
yeah,
that's
know.
Where people are
yeah,
going to take
that's,
it.
That's yeah. It was the way that she was like, yeah, and he snuck into the picture, which I heard actually wasn't entirely true.
Oh, it wasn't either. Oh,
no.
Oh,
no.
We got differing stories here.
Look, I don't think she meant any ill will with
I don't
the comment.
Think she did. No.
But Joe is our guy. Joe's been our guy a long time.
And we love Joe.
I felt really bad. Yesterday was a tough day for him.
Yes.
I did not consider the Adley Rutschman thing. I talked
his
to him
guy,
about it.
His childhood hero.
I think he's close in age with him. I think he's like his classmate. I think he's actually older than him.
His icon, his idol, well, his left, his team.
How many number one picks has your team had?
The Giants, man.
You don't get a lot of those is my point, right? Like they had Jackson Holliday and Adley, and they yeah. traded. So I hadn't considered that. It was a bad joke. It was a alley-oop to something I shouldn't have done. So I apologize publicly.
Look at you being the bigger man.
I should have never made the joke.
Well, no.
So I apologize. I love Joe Fish.
We love you, Joe.
He might be co-hosting Monday.
Oh, look at that. Well, I'm out.
Yeah.
You got Joe Fish coming in early.
I have Stephen Vaughn tomorrow and Friday. And
look
then
at
Joe
Stevie
Fish
Brackett's pulling double duty.
He threw it at him. And he was like, yeah, I can do it. I can swing it. I'm like, okay.
I'll tell you what. You know what that Stevie Brackett's is? He's a gym rat.
He's a gym rat. High motor guy.
He's a high motor guy. You give him an opportunity. You give him a task. He'll tackle it. He'll get it done.
We have a lot to get to in college football before we get to Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague. We never got to it yesterday. Yelling at each other. Or yelling together about Indiana canceling their 2030-2031 game against the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Look, they won the championship. So clearly who you play in non-conference does not matter that much because they were not tested, challenged, and it didn't matter because they went undefeated and won a national championship. I really want to scream about this. I really want to yell about it. This is cowardly behavior.
Okay.
It's cowardly behavior. It's one thing to...
This was agreed upon, by the way, with Tom Allen and Brian Kelly.
Yes. I mean, this thing has been on the books for a while.
Yeah.
And this is becoming the trend in college football right now. And it's not just an Indiana rant. It's a USC Notre Dame rant. It's a, you know, who are the other ones? I think Alabama just canceled. Like, there's a million teams that are doing this right now. LSU has done this with some opponents where there's this rush to not want to play anybody because their argument is, what's the point? And they point to Texas last year and say, if Texas played Grambling instead of Ohio State, where's Texas at the end of the year? They're in the college football playoff. And we could yell and say, well, no, it's because you lost to Florida. And both sides of that argument are right. If you don't lose to Florida, you're in the playoff. And if you play Grambling, you're in the playoff. So both sides of that coin are fair. What hurts college football more than anything else is having pockets of the schedule, weeks of the schedule, where there's nothing relevant or interesting going on. And one of the biggest desires I had out of an expanded playoff, and I want to be cautious to make this argument for 24, because I would have thought that 12 would fix this, was that this idea of, okay, we have an expanded playoff now. You're allowed the ability to trip up. You're allowed the ability to go through a bump or two in the road and still make the ultimate goal of the college football playoff. Therefore, it should lead more teams to want to challenge themselves and give us games that we want. Indiana and their non-conference schedule, there's not a single game on there for the next decade that I care to watch or am interested in any way, shape, or form. And it doesn't mean that every team out there is playing Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia in non-conference every year. But just give me, can I get a Power 4 opponent? Is that too much to ask? Well, I don't go. Can I get a Pac-12 team? Is that too much to ask? Like, it's ridiculous. It punishes your fans. You're playing games that they don't even care about, and you're going to charge them a lot of money to go to the game. This is an in-state game. I don't know how often Indiana and Notre Dame have played over the years, but I know they played in the playoff 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And Notre Dame kicked the living crap out of them. Mm-hmm. And I'd imagine Indiana would want a bit of a, like, hey, you got us when we were low, now get us when we're high. It would have been likely a top five, top 10 matchup when the game happened, because I don't see Indiana or Notre Dame falling off of a cliff in the next 3 to 4 years. And unfortunately, at the end of the day, who pays the price? The fans pay the price. And Indiana fans pay the price. And they could say that it doesn't bother us because we just want a championship.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think they care.
If my non-conference schedule for the next 3 years as an Oregon fan was what Indiana's is, I would be screaming at the top of my lungs of, this is a disservice to us. Nobody cares about these games.
Okay, I think you can be right and wrong at the same time, weirdly. I think you are right in a lot of what you're saying. I've had my initial reaction to it. I laughed and I said, well, that's very Cignetti, Indiana, right? To get out of it. Because he said it out loud. He was like, I'm not playing hard non-conference games.
The SEC does it, so why would I do it?
Exactly.
And it's also misleading because not the entire SEC does this.
Well, you're right on that. But, like, he told you out loud his plans. It's to not play hard non-conference games. So him backing out of Notre Dame shouldn't have came at a complete and utter shock, even though the game was scheduled years ago between two former coaches.
And they're not, again, the only team that's doing this.
No, they're not. But they do it maybe the most. Because to your point, their schedule is pretty – I can't even point to anything on the non-conference.
They
the next
literally
four
don't
years.
Have a single Power 4 opponent scheduled in non-conference all the way through 2032. And not a single one.
This is where I will say out loud, it is very interesting. The guy that won the championship and deserves all the flowers and, oh, my God, I can't believe that program won the national championship.
Yes.
It's okay to acknowledge and give them the credit while also saying it's interesting that the guy – who talks about not whining, not making excuses, and going out there and just, he doesn't want to play hard teams in the non-conference because he wants to give himself what? The best possible shot at making the playoff every single season.
Yep.
And he wants a top seed because he wants to be at home, and then he wants, or not home, but he wants the best matchups. Like, he wants to put himself in that spot. So it's interesting that that guy is not willing to schedule the tough team or play the tough game that's been scheduled. That being said, where I think you're a little wrong, fundamentally you're right to say it's a super big buzzkill when your team plays an absolute nobody and they're going to win. And I mean no disrespect here. Portland State's doing a lot of cool stuff locally. They're recruiting better locally. The coach seems like a good dude.
Sure.
Portland State's going to get their teeth utterly kicked in by Oregon this year.
That game does nothing for anybody.
On a Friday night, when I think most people are going to choose to go to their kid or their nephew or whatever's high school football game, you're still going to probably find
fill it
45,000 people that will go to that.
People will sell their
game.
Tickets, and it's a cheaper opportunity to go to a Duck game absolutely. That you don't have anywhere else on the schedule.
But it's absolutely awful for the viewer and the fan that's got to pay money and also, by the way, drive down to a place. I bet you that's the game most Portland season ticket holders probably try to sell off to local people
right.
who can't afford to go most games, because why would you drive 2 hours?
On a Friday.
Exactly. That being said, where I disagree and think you're wrong is if Oregon went this direction, I think people would admit to you they hate it, but also tell you in Dan we trust if he had a national championship. Like, I think the fans at Indiana, and Indiana's so much different where they're at and Eugene versus Portland and all
both
that.
Both can simultaneously be true, though,
that's
can't
what I'm
they?
Saying like, I think you are right, but also I think if Oregon had a natty and Dan Lanning went this direction,
I would still critique it because it sucks for me as a fan. But I can't stand these games.
But I think people would just get behind it because he's won the ultimate and he's telling you straight up why he's doing it. And are you going to argue with the fact that it's chalked up? It's 3 wins automatically. Indiana's going to be 3-0 before they dive into Big Ten play. I'm going to think they're good.
Sure.
But I won't have a real barometer test of how truly good they are or are not versus the other teams.
Well, we actually did that to them last year, remember? Because they had a game early.
Old Dominion.
And it was like 28-14. And it was like, what? They barely beat Old Dominion? Indiana's going to suck.
Right.
And then they ended up going undefeated. I mark my words, for Oregon might win the national championship this year. They're one of the teams that has a shot to do it. By the time next year rolls around, I am going to be screaming about their non-conference schedule and how irrelevant and uninteresting
it
is.
Who do they play next year?
Next year they have Eastern Washington, Coastal Carolina, and Western Kentucky, all at home. That sucks. You don't get a game that matters to you as an Oregon fan until the end of September.
That's an awful.
It's horrendous.
That's three. It's almost a month
nothing
of the season
for me.
I don't care about.
Exactly. And so, like, yeah, I'm not criticizing Kurt Cignetti as a coach for doing this. It's just the point of, like, as a fan, I have no problem saying, if I buy tickets, that sucks.
It's terrible.
That sucks.
Yeah,
I don't want to spend my money to watch my team beat Western Kentucky by 80 points.
Your season ticket price, if you bought season tickets to a program like that or use Oregon's,
they're incredibly expensive.
Well, they are expensive, but I'm telling you the 80% of that is from the Big Ten. And the 20 is, and maybe less than 20 is from that non-conference, because you're not.
Their home games next year. Now this is probably their argument.
Cheap in Eugene.
Ohio State comes to Autzen next year. Yeah. Penn State comes to Autzen next year. Yeah. Iowa comes to Autzen next year. So you got those if they matter to you. Two of them, but definitely do in conference play.
Yeah.
So you'll have an okay home slate. It just. This year is okay for me because Boise State is at least a playoff conversation team out of the Pac-12. Oklahoma State is a Power Four opponent, and you're playing them on the road. It's a game you're going to be favored by 17.5, and you should win convincingly.
But they shouldn't be as bad as
they shouldn't be as bad as you last year. The ticket, I mean, that's a hot ticket in Stillwater right now. They're excited. They got a new coach. There's
it's an
energy down there.
Environment like, if you're a Duck fan to
that,
travel.
That's enough for me. That, I'm not asking you to play Alabama every year.
You.
I'm not asking you to play Ohio, Texas every year. Just give me something that I'm like, okay, I can chew on that a little bit. We're probably going to win by 30, but I, you know, that at least does something for me as a fan.
Where he is right, though, and this is what sucks about it, is until, because I actually think this is a, I think personally as a sports viewer, as a diehard college football fan, I think this is a huge problem with the sport.
It's a massive
a lot
problem.
Of people pay attention to the NIL, the conference realignment, which those are issues. Obviously, there's a lot of issues. This is one of the. This is maybe the biggest thing for me as a fan. The NFL can give me certainly Rams and Jets, and I'll be like, from time to time, those become interesting games, and you don't expect it. But they give me so much more the rest of the way, largely. And this is where college, like that schedule you just talked about with Oregon. We're going to talk about what Oregon will be next year, how they're going to react or respond.
The optimism and the thoughts will be high.
But, like, legitimately, there is going to be nothing to take away from those three games.
Other than an injury happening.
Exactly.
Like, oh, your quarterback got hurt. Okay, now it's a talking point.
And that to me, when you're losing almost a month of conversation
it
and
sucks.
Attention of your season.
Absolutely sucks.
It's dreadful. But where Cignetti is right, and this is what's terrible about it, is that stupid committee does nothing to punish teams when they play absolute patsies.
This is, again, the debate and why we need a different way to calibrate who does and doesn't make the playoff, because the most important thing for some people is the number next to your team name, not who you play, the backstory behind it, have you challenged yourself. None of that matters. Are you 9-0?
Yeah.
I don't care if you beat a team ranked in the top 100. Are you 9-0? We'll throw you in the top 10. That's all that matters to them. And it's a ridiculously old way to look at the sport. And last thing on this, this is an interesting thing that I'm glad you brought it up, because it's been on my mind about Oregon. When Lanning got there, the vast majority of stuff was already booked out. It was already, like, we do this stuff 10 years in advance, and it's ridiculously dumb.
We need to get rid of that, too, by the way.
Yes.
The NFL can make a new schedule every year. College football can't, too.
Yes.
We saw it during COVID. BYU, Coastal Carolina.
In 2 weeks, they got the game ready.
I think it was less than that.
Yes.
Yeah, you can make these games happen year to year. You don't need to book out a decade. It's ridiculous.
This is going to be the first chance, because I think the Lanning leaving stuff, like, that we're done doing that dumb debate. This is his first opportunity looking in the years to come where they have actual openings, and I'm really curious to see how aggressive he is and what his thought process is, because Rob Mullins is going to do what Dan Lanning wants to do. They only have one non-conference game on the books in 2031. It's the Civil War. Civil War II in 2032, and then the Civil War ends, that streak ends in 2032, and they play Texas Tech in the comeback game at home. So you have multiple non-conference games in 31, 32, and 33 to schedule out. Are you going to schedule Western Kentucky and Portland State? Are you going to schedule Power Four teams? Like, I'm really curious to see how he handles this, and I think the world of him as a coach, please, for the love of God, give me something that's appetizing as a fan.
It was next year that was the Mario regime? Or was that before Mario?
I don't know when the 2027 would have been scheduled. Probably
okay.
Mario. It's all about 10 years in advance, so probably the beginning of Mario.
We'll put a pin in college football. We'll get into it. We got Cafe Day, Dirt and Sprague at the top of the hour. We'll get back into college football. The coaches poll was released, and we had one of the dumber things put out about it. Also, I didn't get to my note of the predictor came out yesterday. 1.0 predictor. And it doesn't fare well for Andy Der Johnson's old mighty Ducks. We'll talk about that in the second hour. Coming up next, how fired is this individual? We'll talk about that on The Fan.
Little Bob here. This summer, shop the latest small space solutions at Bob's Discount Furniture. From retro chic bedroom sets to stylish space-conscious Bob-o-pedic sofas, it's all at Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
College football coverage on The Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one prize, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. Cafe Day, Dirt and Spray going to open up here at the top of the 7 a.m. hour. We'll dive back into college football in hour number two. Go to the NFL at 8:04. Talk with Matt Maiocco, NBC Sports Bay Area. Seahawks had all the great vibes yesterday on Hard Knocks. The Niners have massive amounts of injuries piling up. So we'll go.
These things are very different right now.
They absolutely are. By the way, on a scheduling note, I wanted to point this out because I looked it up yesterday. I had to do a double take. I was reading an article. We know Notre Dame and Miami play this year.
Yes, they do.
Remember last year's game, how exciting that was?
Right out of the gate.
CJ Carr bursting onto the scene, like, oh my God, this guy can kind of ball. And then Miami wins the game at the end. They play again this year. I had no idea. That game is in November.
It's in November. It's on the same day
as November 7th.
I think it's like that's the day of college football this year.
Like that's the Christmas day.
I'm pretty sure that's the day of the Oregon-Ohio State game. There's one in the SEC, I want to say.
See,
Let me check. This is
what I'm talking about in like...
Spread it out.
You can get your schedule year to year better off than you can saying, let's book a date for 2038 in 2026. Like,
yeah, you got Bama at LSU that day, Georgia at Ole Miss.
Ooh. Miami, Notre Dame.
Ooh.
And then I think that's... Let me check. I think that's the Oregon-Ohio State game.
It is.
Yeah, Oregon-Ohio State. That's the one that everybody... Every year there's that one weekend where people are like, oh, don't do anything on that weekend.
What time is your guess on Oregon-Ohio State? Because the Notre Dame-Miami game is a 4:30 NBC
I mean, that has Big Noon written all over it. Oregon-Ohio State.
Yeah, it depends on who has the...
Thanks,
who
Fox.
Has the pick.
It's great. Love playing big games at 9 o'clock in the morning. Where Dirt was right. You know I'm right in that argument. Can you admit now, years later, I won?
Can you admit now?
Feel free.
Sure. You love the 9 a.m. kick.
Feel free to acknowledge. It's okay.
Come on.
We're all right. We're all wrong
sometimes. Come on, Jason.
Big games at 9 a.m. suck.
When they I'm suck. At home, they don't.
I mean, I like having
not
games on my TV.
Team, I don't care.
I still do. I want it to be dark. It means more.
That's that Pac-12 after dark.
No,
you.
It's just the it's a primetime game.
It's not always dark at 4:30.
It's dusk, and then it gets
dark. Was it dark,
dark
when Ohio State Oregon kicked off two years ago?
It was dark as hell when the game ended, though.
It did, hey, yeah.
Because
it was
a 5 o'clock kick. Daylight savings, it is going to be dark when they kick off.
There you go. You're right.
No, you need the right. The sunset is a part of the ambiance of a primetime kick.
It's okay to not be a morning
I
guy.
Can't wait for Oregon, Ohio State
to
play, and we're not even
going to
do a live pregame show for the game because it will be on at 4 o'clock in the morning locally.
Yeah, Dirt's going to
that makes a lot of
one.
Sense. This is great. But yeah, it has Big Noon written all over it.
We'll get to more college football, and I just wanted to shout that out because I saw that and went, oh, look at that. A team in a conference. Well, Notre Dame kind of steals a conference, so I guess it's unfair to
Notre Dame schedule
call that a non-conference game
this year.
Notre Dame
plays nobody.
A conference.
Well, like one Oregon fan or an Oregon fan's chiming in saying one of the reasons that next year's non-conference schedule sucks is because Oregon State couldn't buy out of their game to play the Civil War that year.
Can we be honest?
But that's also like, can we add
Oregon State, Coastal Carolina? There's
no difference.
You got an uncle or a cousin or a friend that
no
likes
offense,
Oregon
like,
State. You don't know anybody that likes Coastal Carolina. There's only a local tie-in. That game on paper is not amazing.
That game sucks. No offense. It just sucks.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
The history's fun, and we can talk about the memories, but that does nothing for me the day of the game.
That's
we're playing different sports right now.
27.5-point line.
So the idea of Oregon State being on the non-conference schedule, so if you get Eastern Washington, Oregon State, and Western Kentucky?
I think at least it feels more familiar, I think, is that person's trying to point out.
Okay.
Like, hey, at least I know this opponent.
We had a Duck fan chime in, too. It's like, Portland State on a Friday at 7:30? I'm a season ticket holder. Had to pay for that crap. I'm not going.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. We lose. Fans lose.
Something we may get into later that I wanted to bring up in the 6 a.m. hour. How fired is the lawyer representing the Blazers who accidentally sent internal documents
pretty much
to a city official who then Wright Gazaway was able to obtain those legally?
Dude, do we have what's our local journalism award? What is the can we give it to Wright Gazaway?
Like the local
I don't think
it's an Emmy.
There's Pulitzer's.
It's not an Emmy.
Pulitzer,
can we give him a Pulitzer? He deserves
for local
a Pulitzer
investigative
for this.
Journalism
he has
and
been
like
he's
that.
Been on this
unbelievable.
Debatably the best.
Yes.
And I don't mean that as a shot to anybody else,
no.
But he's given us a lot of like the internal city team back and forth. So he released this document yesterday, the email exchange internally with the Blazers. I'll say this. I went through it and I read the PDFs.
Is it about their plans to move to Kalamazoo?
There is no plans.
They don't email about that? The cities they're talking to that they're definitely going to move the team to?
No. In
oh,
fact,
got it,
he
okay.
found this out through a labor press document that nobody else had reported. And I thought this was interesting.
Massive.
Randall Friesen, Executive Secretary Treasurer of the Columbia Pacific Building Trades Council, says the Union Trades Council has secured a commitment from Dundon's ownership group to negotiate a project labor agreement for the renovations. So in other words, the work would be entirely union.
Wait, I thought all this was getting done, though, to move the team.
Well, let's not. Can we not Deion Highstep yet on anything?
I'm not Deion Highstep, and I see a report like that, and I'm like, everything that I'm reading from some members of the media is that all of this is a ruse to move the team to a different city, and then you get a journalist who reports that there's already an agreement, according to a union, in place between the owner and the union to use the union to remodel the Moda Center.
Yeah. So the email,
those things can't be simultaneously true.
The email
mind.
Document involves the term questions, or the questions involving the term sheet. This comes from Ken McGare of the Portland government. I can't pretend to tell you what he is, but his name is Ken McGare.
Ken McGare.
And he reaches out to a representative of the Blazers, the council, and says, please answer the following questions. They're then given seven questions, right? And it's things like, how much private financial capital contribution is the team willing to make? Please confirm that the team will be responsible for all cost overruns, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Zendaya Conyers is the representative counsel for the Blazers, sends this to Charles Boyle of the Blazers.
She was, both of them, I believe, were at the thing last week, were they not?
I believe both of them were
at the public testimony.
And it basically is just like, how do we want to respond to this? Do we want to put this in writing? Dwayne Hankins gets this and says, we should discuss whether we even respond to this. It then basically says, sounds good. A conversation would be helpful. And then in an email from Dwayne, or no, from Joe Loomis to Dwayne, it says, Dwayne, the other new thing is they are now asking us to formally respond to these response letters, giving us money this summer, even though last week Ken said he understood our position. Hankin says, yes, I understand. Charles Boyle says, Dwayne, sharing a draft response to these questions, et cetera, et cetera. Where I will defend, because the emails, there's nothing really crazy in them.
No.
Where I will defend the team here in this category, it's the reporting is that the term sheet that you, I, and everybody else saw came exactly at the same time as the team saw it. And so it was a weird thing of like, go against the team for not.
They tried to have some leverage there. We're not hearing back. Why aren't we hearing back on this? The team is delaying their response.
Well, yeah. It was made like they delayed the response. They got the term sheet the same time the media got the term sheet. So the team was like, wait, what? And then it was like, already, the team won't respond to this. And it's, I don't know. It kind of shows you the sloppiness, I think, involved on both sides.
Without a doubt. There's also the Hankins letter yesterday to Rip City fans of like, go. The public hearing today where your voice can be heard and you could go up and talk to the city council. That's happening today with the city council. And they want people to sign a petition and go talk. And it was just kind of a weird day because on the one hand, it's like, all right, thanks for putting that out, I guess. On the other hand, you just took a steaming dump on the city a week ago. But you're also in this letter kind of insinuating that if you're asking us to go fight for the public funding, does that mean that this is all it's going to take? So is all that big boogeyman in the corner about the team leaving, you're asking the fans to go advocate for this? If the funding is passed, the team's not leaving.
There's nowhere for them to
go. We're just in a very weird spot. And then you get the announcement at the end of the night, not announcement, but Ray Gasaway doing great journalism and discovering that a union is announcing that they already have a deal in place with Dundon to be the union labor of building the Moda Center, which was one of the key tenants, remember, of the city. And we did not know at the time, and many people have debated, is that going to be a breaking point or a sticking point for Dundon? Is he going to want to use union workforce? And according to one union in the local area, they already have reached an agreement. And so I saw yesterday and was relieved with some of that stuff. We'll see how the public testimony goes today. But overall, the thought process hasn't changed. They're not going anywhere.
We can get back to this later on and talk about some other things. I have a thought on Tom Dundon we can get into if we dive back into this later on. But we have a loaded second hour. Let's kick it off. Cafe de Dirt and Sprague opens hour two. 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, y'all. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.